Well, turn back with me, please, to Joshua chapter 14. And as you do, I want to ask you a simple question. What do you think God wants from his people? What do you think God wants from his people? If your answer is something like, well, I'm sure he wants me to follow him, would you be a bit surprised if I said, well, that's not quite right? Because this passage is going to show us why. This passage is going to show us that there is a correct way to follow God, and there's not a correct way to follow God. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been working our way through this book of Joshua. And we have been seeing that God fulfills his promises. We saw that at the very beginning of Joshua, that God leads his people across the River Jordan. He stops the raging river mid-flow, and the people walk on dry land across the river into this land of Canaan. And after that, we see in dramatic fashion how God causes the people to take city after city after city. God was giving them this land to possess. And he just as he promised Moses. He would give them this land, but they had to take it by faith. That was the point. And so by the time we get to chapter 13, which we looked at last week, Joshua now is old. And there's still quite a large amount of land for him to possess to completely fulfill God's promise. So God tells Joshua to allocate the land to the different tribes of Israel. Even the bits of land that they haven't conquered yet. He was to allocate it by faith, and then God would be with the people, and the people would go and take that land. And all of this was for them to see that God was fulfilling his promise. And the people were supposed to obey him by taking that land. And in verse 5 of this chapter 14, it says, and the people did just that. But you see, what we're about to see in these coming chapters is that there is obeying God and there is obeying him. You can follow God in a way that's kind of typified by a kind of begrudging obedience to him, or you can follow God wholeheartedly. And over the next few chapters, and thus over the next few weeks, we are going to see both of these ways being exemplified in different people who were Israelites in the next couple of chapters. So here we are, this first part in Joshua chapter 14, and we come across this man whose life shows you the correct way to obey God. And exactly what God wants from his people. And the way the Bible sums up this man's life is that it says of this man Caleb, that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. I wonder if you noticed it just came up again and again and again in that reading. God wants his people to follow him wholeheartedly. And what does that mean? Well, let's look at the life of Caleb and see what it means to follow God wholeheartedly. We meet this man Caleb in the book of Joshua when Joshua is back at his headquarters in Gilgal. And here, the men of Judah come to Caleb, the men of Judah come to Joshua, and Caleb, being one of them, comes to him and he says this in verse 6. It says, now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord has said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him a report according to my convictions. Well, let's just fill in the blanks, shall we? Because some of us may not remember or know what Caleb's actually talking about. So turn back with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13 on page 104. If you're using a church Bible. This was 45 years earlier. And Moses, God's servant, was leading the people. And God had led his people out of Israel through Moses. Sorry, out of Egypt through Moses. And they had crossed the Red Sea that God had divided so that they walked on dry land. And the Egyptians had come and they were chasing after them. And they chased them through the river and God closed the river on them. And that happened a year ago. And now these Israelites, they had been in this land for about a year. They had received God's law. They had seen God's daily goodness when he supernaturally provided food for them in the desert every single day. And now they were on the edge of this promised land, the land that God was going to give them. And Moses sends out 12 spies, and two of these spies who were going to look at this land were a young Caleb and a young Joshua. So read with me now from verse 21 what it says. So they went up and they explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lehi-Hamath. And they went through the Negev and they came to Hebron where Ahim, Shethar and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, live. Now Anak, the descendants of Anak, these were incredibly huge men. Giants in stature compared to the men of their day. And jump with me now to verse 25. It says, at the end of 40 days they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. Verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers even in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. And all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt, or even in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Look at verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who was among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite army, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Do you think the people of the assembly listened to them? They didn't. In fact, the verses that go on tell us that they actually picked up stones to stone Joshua and Caleb to death. But God intervened. And God was angry with the Israelites because they did not trust him, despite all that he had shown them. And though he forgives them, after Moses prays for them, he says this. Look at verse 20. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you have asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into this land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Do you see what it means to follow God wholeheartedly here? It means seeing God for who he is and putting your confidence in him. Put your confidence in the Lord God Almighty. Turn back with me, please, to Joshua 14 now. And now read with me that verse 7, which says, I was 40 years, this is Caleb speaking, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him a report according to my convictions. Now we know what that means. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. See, here he was, these 45 years later. And I don't think that Caleb was recounting this story because, you know, Joshua might have forgotten. He was telling them this story because all the other Israelites who were with him they weren't around. Or they would have been babies. Because all of the other generation had died out. And why does Caleb bring the report that he did that was so very different from his friends, his brothers? I mean, he saw the descendants of Anak, didn't he? He saw the fortified cities. But he remembers the God who brought them out of Egypt. And he remembered that he had done great things. And he remembers and trusts in him and puts his confidence in him for the next challenge. Yes, they were huge men. Yes, they lived in very fortified cities. But the Lord of the whole universe had called these Israelites to himself. And he had promised to be with them. But these Israelites had refused to remember what God had done. And they refused to believe what God was teaching them about himself. And friends, that's the very danger that we face. Because we too, if you are Christian, face incredible challenges in this society that we're in. The Bible tells us as Christians that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities and authorities. And they've got their hooks into our society and they won't be dislodged, not without a fight. And I tell you something about our society. This country of England is fast losing any sense of its Christian heritage. And the more it does that, the more people become less and less knowledgeable about God and more ignorant about the gospel. And the challenge for us to tell them the good news about the gospel, the life-saving news about this gospel, will get harder and harder. And we have to be realistic about the challenge that we face. Because in our own strength, we have not got a hope. But our hearts must be like Caleb rather than those other Israelites. We must see the very challenges that we face in the light of the fact that the Lord of the whole universe is with us. And he's with us not because we're special, not because we're better than the rest of society, but because he is loving to us. Because of his loving mercy, he sends down his Son to die upon the cross for our sins. And he makes us realize that we need saving. And so we called out to him and we trusted him. The Lord of the whole universe is with us. And he is more than capable of opening people's eyes. He's the Lord who opened the Red Sea and caused people to walk on it. He's the same Lord who stopped the River Jordan and caused people to walk on it. He is the Lord who created the whole universe, who sustains the planets. He's the one who calls Jesus, who sent Jesus to rescue man, and then promises that he will build his church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the God who is with us. Only will we remember what he has done? Will we trust him? Will we put our confidence in him? Or will we just see our giants? Caleb said, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And friends, this kind of wholehearted following of God, it takes courage. It's got to. Caleb knew that only too well. I mean, he stood there alone with Joshua and he gave his report and he argued the case for faith in God, even though it nearly cost him his own life. It will require courage. Courage to stand alone. Courage to go against the grain. This kind of courage will cause you to be isolated. If you're a Christian teenager, you need to know that it will take courage not to go along with the sexual habits of your classmates. To stand up and say, no, actually God has called me to call and to follow him and to be holy to him. If you're a Christian business person, it takes courage to say, no, I will put in an honest bid for a contract and not be dishonest about it, even though my competitors may be. It takes courage, and it will lead to us being isolated. And we live in a society that demands much less from us than God does. And there's such a pressure for us to conform or to compromise our faith. And goodness gracious, let it not be the case that we dare to criticize what's going on in this world. But friends, we must follow God wholeheartedly. We must resist compromising and follow exactly what Jesus tells us to do. And we must expect that that will lead to conflict and may lead to isolation. Okay. There's a lot. Let's see what else is involved in following wholeheartedly for God. Read with me verse 9. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and your children and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time, he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Look how he says what he says in verse 10. Here I am today. Here's a man whose very life has been shaped by this promise, isn't it? He literally says, I'm alive only because of God's promise. All my contemporaries are dead. But because I followed wholeheartedly and I have kept, God has kept me alive by his word, by his promise. God promised me that day that I will inherit this land, and I have been living on that promise ever since. So here's another characteristic for what it means to follow God wholeheartedly. You live your life by the word of God. You live your whole life by the word of God. God promised Caleb that day that he would inherit the land. And Caleb continually looked back on that promise. And he sees that God has been keeping him alive for that particular promise. You know, I don't imagine that this promise ever slipped Caleb's mind. I don't think he forgot about it, and then one day he thought, oh yes, God had a promise, didn't he? He made me that promise, and then he walked up to Joshua and said, you know, oh Joshua, do you remember that day that God... I don't think that's what he did. No, he would have remembered that promise daily. He would have pondered on it. He would have thanked God for it. It quite clearly filled his thinking. I mean, look at how many times he refers to the promise in these few verses. Verse 9, it says, so that day Moses swore to me. Swore to him what? The promise. Verse 10, now then, just as the Lord promised, he goes on and on. Look at the second half of verse 10. Since that time, he said this to Moses. He said what? That promise. Verse 12, now give me this hill country, he says, that the Lord promised to me this day. And he ends up by saying, and I will drive them out just as he said, just as he promised. Five times he hammers home this point, that God has promised him this. It fills his thinking. And for 45 years he's trusted this promise. Whilst all his contemporaries died off, one by one. 45 years waiting, remembering, trusting, thanking God. And God kept him strong and vigorous through wilderness and war, ready for this next challenge. You know, we must shape our lives on God's word. Just like Caleb did. That's what we must do. And how do we do that? Well, we follow Caleb's example. We remember God's goodness that he expresses to us in his word. And we trust it because God doesn't lie. And we think about it daily and we praise God for it and we thank him for it. And then we go on in confidence in him that we will be able to meet the next challenge. And do you know what you look like after you've had a lifetime of doing just that? You look like this 85-year-old man who is ready and vigorous for the next challenge. Because you look back and you see that God has brought you through. And he has equipped you and he has saved you through all your previous challenges. Caleb says, I stand here as God's testimony that he has the power to carry out his promises. He has kept me alive and kept me strong, and I'm ready for my next challenge. So here is his request in verse 12. Here it is. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. So just at the right time, Caleb boldly launches out in faith. And he launches out in faith on the very basis of God's promise. As Joshua was about to allocate the land by lot, Caleb comes forward and he says, no, wait a minute. Because the Lord has promised this to me, I want to claim it. He's waited patiently and he's trusted God, who has kept him supernaturally strong. And now he says, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me this day. And here's the very last thing about what it means to follow God wholeheartedly. See, you act in faith, and your faith is shown in your very actions. You show your faith in your actions when you follow God wholeheartedly. I want to go to this hill country and take it because God has promised it to me. That's what Caleb says. He hasn't lost any of his confidence. He's driven to action because of the very promise of God. And he trusts the very word of God and he acts upon it. But this is the place, remember, where these incredibly huge men live. They haven't gone away and their cities are still very fortified. They were huge men. They were experienced in battle. And the thing about fighting a huge man, I don't know if you realize this, is they've got a distinct advantage over you. Because if you come at them with swords, by the time you get you anywhere close to them, they'll cut you down. Because they've got a reach that you don't have. And the cities were fortified, which meant it would have been very difficult to break through. And even if you did, while you tried to scale the walls, they would have picked you off as easy pickings. So how was this 85-year-old man going to take on this great challenge? How was he going to do it? It was only by God. And Caleb hadn't forgotten that it was God that he must rely on, just as he did back those 45 years ago. He trusts in God, he trusts in his word, and he trusts in God's promise to him. And he hasn't forgotten what God has done or who God is. And you know, the extreme difficulty of this task seemed only to give him a shot of adrenaline into his faith. It's as if he sort of says, look, do you remember when we were there and we gave the report and there was all these sneers when we brought back our reports? Remember all the whimpering about those large fortified cities and that swaggering Anakim? That's what I want for my inheritance. Now's the opportunity for us to put right the very mistake our brothers did back those years ago. That's what he's saying. It wasn't bravado. There was a big price that the Israelites had paid for not trusting God. For turning and seeing the task as being too tough and turning away and longing again for days before they were rescued. That whole generation had died out because they had not trusted God, because of their lack of faith. And Caleb wasn't going to make that mistake. He had been trusting God for 45 years and he was going to act on the very promise that God had given him. And so we too must be bold in our faith for Jesus Christ. We too must rely upon Jesus as we face our battles and we seek to tell people about his salvation. We too must not forget what God has done for us. Friends, God has promised to draw men and women to himself. That's God's promise And nothing can stop that. No amount of evil forces, no increased tough climate, no other religions, no other philosophies, nothing will stop God from doing what he's going to do. The only question is, will we trust the Lord who says to us that the fields are ripe for harvest, and go ask the Lord of the harvest to send you out into his harvest field? Will we rely on him as we boldly launch out in faith? Or will we fear the giants and miss out because of a lack of faith? And there's one other thing that I notice and I want you to see. There's another thing that gives Caleb a shot of adrenaline into his faith. And we see it here in the second half of this verse 12. And unfortunately, we kind of missed the full force of it in our NIV translation. Caleb literally says, "Perhaps the Lord will be with me." Or if you're reading an ESV or a New King James version, it says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and he will drive out, and I will drive them out just as the Lord said." Now, it makes you stop and think, does it? Because it can't be that Caleb doubts the Lord. Everything up until now has shown us that he has confidence in the Lord, that he has based his life on God's word, that he knows who the Lord God Almighty is. So what is he saying when he says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me"? Well, Caleb knows that God is sovereign. That God can do and will do exactly what he wants. God has promised Caleb this hill country. But he didn't tell him that now he should go up and go and get it. And Caleb doesn't demand that God does this his way. That God fulfills his promises this way. He's got far too much respect and reverence for God. No. He doesn't dictate to God, but because of God's promise, he rather suspects that God will be pleased to drive out his enemy before him as he's promised. There's an air of expectancy as he launches out in faith. It's as if he's almost saying, "Well, perhaps God will be pleased to use my efforts as he has promised when I launch out in faith." And here's the very last thing I want us to learn about it. Even in trusting promises that God gives us, we cannot dictate to God exactly how he should achieve his purposes. God is sovereign, and he will do his will his way. Caleb is confident because of God's promises, but he's not cocky. So he casts himself on the Lord and he launches out in faith. And he literally says, who knows God, what God will do if he is pleased with me, if I throw myself in this situation. See, that's an expectant faith. That's what it means to trust God and to launch out in action. There's an excitement and an expectancy in his voice. And he looks to the Lord, who has been good to him all his life, and he launches out in faith. And friends, the passage urges us, this passage simply urges us to throw ourselves on such a God as this. On such a God who delights to surprise his people with his goodness, who will carry out his purposes, who will give us the very privilege of being involved in his work. That's the actions of a person who wholeheartedly follows the Lord. That's the excitement of trust in action. And we know that God promises that his word will not go out and come back to him void, but that it will accomplish exactly what is desired for it and what he's proposed for it. So when we venture out in faith, with passion for life, for instance, and we give people God's word, we know that God does not have to act in the way that we would want him to. But we know that God will honor his word. We rather hope that God will surprise us with his goodness. So friends, let's not be timid about our evangelism efforts, but let us have confidence in the Almighty God who does so much more than we can imagine. Let us rely upon him and venture out in faith. And Caleb? Well, look at verse 13 to the end. It shows us that Caleb goes out and that he defeats the people in the fortified cities of Hebron, and that he kills the Anakim. And the place that he inherits is the place where the most feared people and the most protected opposition against God used to live. That becomes his inheritance. God fulfills his purposes, as we knew that he would. And God's people reign there just as God has promised, because Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Friends, who knows what God will do with us if we follow the Lord wholeheartedly?